Brother Goodwin read to us from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. And as he read a rebuke that Jesus gave to the people who lived while he was here on this earth, a rebuke that they were able to see physical signs and predict certain physical events. But the rebuke was that they were not able to read the spiritual signs, and they were not able to discern, as Jesus said, this time. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? I want to read several verses of Scripture now, and if you will, listen. You'll not be able to turn in your Bibles to them, perhaps, but you listen as I read them. Luke 19:44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Lamentation over Jerusalem, thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. And then in the book of Jude, verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. John wrote in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. In the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 32, it is written, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Matthew 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? As we think now of the Scriptures that I have read and we have heard, I want us to think of this theme this morning, understanding the times. Understanding the times. Jesus, as I said, rebuked those who listened to him as he preached to them the Word of God, because they were not able to discern the times. That is, the time that they were involved in. It seems that people are preoccupied with the future. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Many times people are interested about what has happened in the past. We seem to have a resurgence of interest in the past, especially in our people and the people who lived in the past, who were our or parts of our family. But we don't seem to have enough interest in the present. The disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to know when the end would come. They wanted to know when the world would end. And people are terribly interested in when the world is going to end. You can generate a lot of conversation in almost any crowd by talking about the end of the world. And the end of the world is an important subject. You know, I think there's something more important than the end of the world, and that is this time. The time that we're involved in now. 11:15 a.m. Sunday morning, August, rather July 22nd, 1979, this time, this day, these moments, now. The Bible commends people who are called the children of Issachar. They were a tribe, a group of people, and the Bible tells us that they had men in their midst who understood the times. And the Bible tells us that because of this, they knew what Israel ought to do. I think that's one of the most complimentary things that could be said about a group of people who are interested in serving our God. They were people who understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. Last Sunday morning I spoke of my confusion, my own personal confusion as a man who is supposed to know how to lead. There were times when I became confused and perplexed about what I ought to do and what I ought to attempt to lead this church to do. Brother Goodwin and I talked this week and he told me, he said, John, I've been there. I know just exactly how you feel. There are times, it seems, when we don't understand the times. And there are times when we don't know what Israel ought to do. As we look at the setting of this scripture in 1 Chronicles 12:32, you'll notice that some of the people were having difficulty deciding whether to follow Saul's descendants or the descendants of David. Now the children of Issachar, they knew what to do because they understood the times. I think today we have some problems in deciding what we are going to do. Trying to discern the times, trying to say this is the path we should take. These are the spiritual concepts that we should follow. And I think the confusion that we have generally arises because of our lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Now that's a little difficult for a preacher to confess. That is, that he feels a lack of knowledge in the Word of God. But I'd be the first one to tell you that I become more and more convinced that the Word of God is a book that is not easily understood. It is a book that must be studied, and it must be studied with prayer and with fervor for periods of time. Now, I believe that anyone can understand the Bible if they'll follow the program that's outlined in the Bible to understand the Bible, which is to study the Bible. But I don't believe just anyone out in the world can pick the Bible up and turn to certain verses in the Bible and immediately understand everything the Bible says. I don't believe that. It takes spiritual discernment. It takes fervent and steady studying of the Word of God. But the Bible tells us that the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and that the man who studies them will be made perfect, that is, complete and thoroughly or truly furnished unto all good works. We can understand the times, and we can know what to do. Not because we've been impressed by some mysterious force outside of our lives that we don't understand, but because we have studied the Word of God and we have arrived at conclusions based on the Word of God, then we know what the times are and we know what Israel ought to do. What are the times in which we're living? What are the signs of the time that Jesus mentioned to the disciples when they came to him and said, "When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" What are the signs of the time? What are some spiritual or even unspiritual guideposts that are set in eternity to which we can look and truthfully, adequately, and accurately determine the time? God reveals through His Word the times to those who seek to know it. Not because we're that brilliant, not because of feelings, not because of common sense, but because we read God's Word. Notice some of the signs that indicate the time. 2 Timothy 4:3, "For the time will come." Now, I think this is a biblical, thoroughly dependable way to approach trying to discover where we are and what we ought to do. Paul said, "For the time will come." Now that is a prophecy, a prediction. John had written or would write, "Little children, it is the last time." Now there seems to be something of a contradiction there. What John said was this: we are living in the last time. That is, there will never be another dispensation as God deals with mankind. This is the last time. In other words, Jesus isn't going to come back to the earth, die on the cross again, mankind extend its time upon this earth, but they're living in the last time. Time of God's ultimate work among men. Then Paul said, "The time will come." What kind of time, Paul? Describe it to us. Tell us about the time that will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and will be turned unto fables. There are five things listed in this scripture. Number one, the Bible tells us that the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. This simply means there will come a time when the truth, without any adornment, when the truth taken from the Word of God as God gave it to us will not be endured. That simply means people will reject it. And the word doctrine means teaching. So we're talking about a time coming when people will say, we will not listen to the truth of God's Word as it comes from God's Word. You'll have to add something to it. You'll have to dilute it. You'll have to preach it in a circle. You'll have to preach it some other way than the way it comes from the Word of God. Now notice, but after their own lusts, that is, they seek to mold things after their own way of thinking, to fit their own ideas, to use the Word of God to please themselves. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, whether it's the teacher, whether it's the people who have itching ears, grammatically it's difficult to determine. But it really doesn't do anything one way or another to the sense of the Scriptures to say that the teachers have itching ears and the people have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what God has to hear. And they will turn away from the truth. Now you know what the truth is? It's this book. That is the truth. You know what the truth is about life? You know what the truth is about death? You want to know what the truth is about life after death, about heaven, about hell? You want to know the truth. I mean the truth. Then this is the book to go to in order to find the truth. But they shall turn away from the truth and just forget everything. No, that's not what the Bible says. And shall be turned unto fables. Fables. You know, there's a great deal of preaching today that fits into the category of fables. There are probably more texts taken from the Reader's Digest and current literature and current movies, more texts today taken from ordinary common events, political speeches, the sayings of great men, perhaps more sermons being preached today from these sources today than there are being preached from the Word of God. Fables! You say you're talking about Aesop's fables. You're talking about donkeys that speak. You're talking about flowers that have powers of thought. No, I'm not talking about that kind of fables. I'm talking about things that are untruth. Things that cut down and mollify and modify the plain truth of God's Word. For the time will come, is what Paul said. And then Jude wrote, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Now notice, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. They're sensual, having not the Spirit. You say, these are people who are outside the pulpit. No, they're described as men who are involved in the era of Balaam, the way of Cain, and the gainsaying of Korah. And these were men who were religious. Men who were involved in religion, who had corrupted the things of God. And they're said to be these mockers who are in the last time. And then Paul wrote again of a time of departing. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now notice, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice in every one of these scriptures that I have read that they speak of turning away to fables, separating themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit, the heir of Balaam, the way of Cain, the gainsaying of Korah, and now departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, a very discernible sign of the times. Paul wrote again in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days," and exactly the same thing, "perilous times shall come." Do you feel comfortable living in this world? I don't suppose there have been many generations since the creation, since the beginning of man, when people felt totally relaxed in their environment. There were always threats from animals. There were always uncertainties about planting, sowing, reaping. There were always threats from other people, other tribes. But I don't think there has ever been a time when the whole world felt threatened as it is today. When there was so much fear, just cold gut fear in the world. As our leaders have discussed the strategic arms that we have and Russia has, and we have tried to get some sort of limitations on the strategic arms, and our television reporters have told us that if someone goes insane, and if a nuclear war is started, they talk about deaths in the billions, death in the millions. A third of the population, dead. It's not so unusual, rather, that we read in the book of Revelation of a time when the pale horse rides and a third of the earth dies. We're conscious today of an uncertainty. There is a conscious uncertainty today. An unseen and uninvited guest. Cold hand of fear wrapped itself around our hearts. We fear when our young women are in the streets. We fear when our young men are away from home. We fear when our little children play in the yard. We fear when our loved ones travel on the road. We fear. We fear. Worry and fear. Because there is so much peril. So many threatening things. And Paul said in the last days, perilous times shall come. The Bible speaks very plainly of wars and rumors of wars. And as John said, brethren, he addressed his hearers as little children. It is the last times. It is the last time. We're living in tragic times today. I think most of us can remember worse times in many ways. We can remember worst times financially. We can remember worst times as far as war is concerned. Worst times as far as creature comforts are concerned. A time when we didn't have air conditioning. And all of the other luxuries that Americans enjoy today. We can remember bad times. We can remember worse times. But I frankly cannot remember, nor have I talked to anyone who remembers worse times spiritually. Little children, it is the last time. One of our great problems, at least we're told this by young people, one of the great problems of the older generations is that we live in the past too much. And I think one of our criticisms of the young people is that they're living in the future. That is, they have plans. These plans will be fulfilled. They'll be augmented in the future. We who are older and perhaps more realistic, we look to the good old days and live in the past. But the past is gone. It's dead. People talk about history as being a dead subject, and it is. And the future has never come to pass. And the future never will come to pass. We cannot offer service to God in the past. We cannot offer service to God in the future. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day of work and labor. It is, as one philosopher has described it, the nasty now and now. I try to keep up with what's going on in the religious world. Occasionally I watch television programs on Sunday morning that are our most popular religious broadcasts. This morning I watched for a while, and the setting of one of the very good programs was Cypress Gardens, Florida. Program was done in color. All of the singers were beautiful. All of the men were tall, handsome, young. Not an old bat in the crowd. Not an old crow anywhere. Just young, good-looking, great singing people. And everything was just against the background of flowers. Luxurious greenery. Young people sitting around the campfire. Evening dresses. Matching suits. That's not what the world is like. The world is overalls and blue jeans and sweaty and crooked teeth. And B.O. and pimples and hunger and dandruff. That's what the world is. And people who watch a television program like that, if they say, well, look, I believe I'll go to a church this morning and find that kind of people and I'll join in with them. They can look all over the world. They'd never find a church like that. That's not reality. It's a dream, a vision. I'll can't offer things like that. We don't have things like that. That's a fable, if you please. An unrealistic viewpoint. Now, you're not going to ever find the perfect man to follow, the perfect church to work for, the perfect choir to sing in. You're never going to have these things. We just got to take the world as it is and take ourselves as we are and do what the Word of God tells us to do, and that is to teach, to preach the Word of God to every creature. In the mud and the slime, in the good and the bad, in the brokenhearted times and the joyous times, the times of birth and the times of death, the times described in the book of Ecclesiastes, the time of sowing and the time of reaping, we must always be consistent and truthful and faithful in preaching and teaching the Word of God. I cannot invite you to a perfect situation. But I can invite you to a perfect Savior. I can invite you to a perfect man, a perfect God. The God-man, the man-God, Christ Jesus. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And as they said at the trial of the Son of God years ago, I find no fault in this man.